first, can we spend a minute or so talking about Liberty Safe and LibertySafe.com?
We love Liberty Safe because, I mean, they've been around for a while now, and I feel like they were another one where it was like a small company when we first started talking about them, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just because of their quality. You know, these are things that you put a Liberty Safe in your house. It adds a little class to your house, and I'm not a classy person, so I would not be able to do that without the Liberty Safe. But these are the best made safes in the world. These are safes that are, you know, you can drop, what is it, a ton concrete block on top of them, and they will survive it, where they'll put it against the competitors, and it, the whole thing is just a giant thing of dust. Like, whatever is inside your safe is destroyed. Liberty Safe is a great safe, and it's the best you can get, and you can get it right now in 2019. Give yourself and your family peace of mind with Liberty Safe. You can secure all your belongings and documents, jewelry, everything. And with all the wildfires going on, this is another reason, because there's pictures of wildfires wiping out entire towns. The only thing left is a Liberty Safe.
Hey, I've got a prediction for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about California Energy and wildfires. I'll give that to you in just a second. Again, you can put that in your Liberty Safe and seal it and open it in a year, and it will be true.
LibertySafe.com. LibertySafe.com is the place to go. It's LibertySafe.com.
Oh, my gosh.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
Oh.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I love Mondays. Who's with me? Wait. Is this on? I said, I love Mondays. Who's with me?
Looks like somebody's got the case of the Mondays.
Oh, man, that never gets old. Welcome to the program. We have more Democratic candidates. Oh, everybody's so excited. I want to be president. You know, do you remember how serious Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were the other day when they gave their rebuttal to President Trump's address? They made it seem like the government shutdown is absolutely apocalyptic. People are suffering, Mr. President. A lot of the Democrats have done the same. On social media and CNN, they are telling Americans about the suffering and how nobody in the Republican Party even cares about this. Well, there is something else that is going on with the Democrats, and that is apparently a pretty big party on the beach in Puerto Rico. Doesn't really look good if you're a federal worker and you're not getting a paycheck, and you see the Democrats partying on the beach. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
New year, time for, you know, a new look, a new feel on everything. By the way, we have to talk about my fat challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Because
to get fatter? Yeah, I can do it, I think. I mean, I've been progressing.
I've been going that way, and I think, hey, why don't I try the other way? Because I know I can do this.
Hmm.
I know I can get fatter. Can we actually not get fat and possibly get a little skinnier? We'll talk about that. I don't know what's on your stupid New Year's resolution thing that I don't make New Year's resolutions. I hate them because I never do them. But if you are sitting there and you're like, you know, I gotta change things up, or you're thinking I gotta change my house because I want to sell it this spring, whatever. The most effective thing you can do for the least amount of money to change the look of your home and update it is blinds. Blind shades, shutters, or drapes. And you can find them now at blinds.com. Cellular shades, Roman shades. Roman shades, are those big balloon things at the top of the... Does anybody know?
I don't know what a Roman shade is.
I don't know what a Roman shade is either. I don't think I want them. Anyway, Blinds.com has everything that you could possibly want. And you'll get free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. You don't know where to start? Place to start is Blinds.com. They've been doing this. They've been doing this when Al Gore was still calling the internet the information superhighway. So they got it down. It's blinds.com. That's blinds.com. Go there at blinds.com/Beck, and you're going to receive a discount on the thing that will really change the look of your home. It's blinds.com/Beck. So they've been nibbling on some sponge cake and watching the sun bake. And it's been great for the Democrats in Puerto Rico until the cameras showed up. And then when the camera showed up, it got ugly. And I mean that in every possible way. I don't know if you've seen the picture of the fat cats on the beach, but I'm going to say the same thing that I would say if I were on the beach. I don't go to the beach because I know that cameras exist. And I don't mean cameras like in the press. I mean home cameras, my camera. No pictures of me on the beach. Nobody wants to see it. May I say, it's pretty much true for all political, you know, all politicians. I don't want to see you in your swimsuit.
Chris Christie looked pretty hot on the Jersey Shore that time, though.
Yeah, right?
I'll say that.
But at least he was sitting down.
Oh, that's not a good look. I mean, he did have a shirt on.
Standing up. Have seen some of these guys standing up?
I mean, sitting down is the worst possible thing you can do as a fat man.
Have you seen Bob Menendez on the beach without a shirt?
I have not, okay. nor do I want to.
But you can imagine it, and I'm sorry to make you do that. I mean, I'm not making you do that, but once I say Bob Menendez without a shirt on the beach, you can't get that picture out.
No.
Okay.
Did they clear the island of underage girls before
that? That was the first thing that I thought of.
Good.
I thought, you know, him on the beach talking to a woman in a bikini is not flattering in any way whatsoever. So the Democrats have you know, vacation now at the seaside resort, and they went to a ridiculously overpriced version of Hamilton. Tickets started at $10, went as high as $5,000. Guess which one? I don't think Menendez and the rest of the Democrats, you know, had the $10 tickets.
They weren't in the rafters.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. So they were at the Hispanic Caucus Bold Pack that said this year's winter retreat promises to be our most wildly attended, with over 220 guests, including 39 members of Congress.
Oh, great.
Oh, golly. So while people are struggling and this president doesn't care, they're on the beach in Puerto Rico watching Hamilton. By the way, there was also in attendance 109 different lobbyists. R.J. Reynolds was there. Facebook was there. Comcast, Amazon, Pharma, Microsoft, Intel, Verizon, and, of course, all the unions like the National Educational Association.
This is how everything that gets done, that you sit back and you're like, gosh, why would they even do that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it's because they probably were on there. Some fat guy was on the beach with a bikini clad model, and he had six drinks.
Not really a model either.
I didn't see the picture. So.
Yeah, one didn't work out either for her.
All right, so. But then the congressman was five drinks in and maybe a little too friendly, and someone took a picture, and like it's all House of Cards. They threw Kevin Spacey out of there. They should put him in Congress. That'd be a much better role. He should actually go into the real Washington and just take a role there. He'd fit in perfectly.
I was going to say, do you think there's really any difference? I think he really actually would fit in perfectly.
Yeah, he'd probably be really successful.
Yeah, he would be.
He's very convincing. Uh-huh. Like he can pull off the speeches a lot better than some dolt congressman.
Yeah.
I think he should try it.
And I don't think any of them would have a problem with him.
Oh, and then they could probably get Congress to pay for all the lawsuits, too. This is his future career path right here. This is the path for Kevin Spacey.
Right. I think you're right.
He already knows how to act like a politician. No one obviously cares about opinions or policy anymore. You just got to act like a politician and be able to handle those big moments when you're stressed. Well, he could do that. That's his gig.
Has Spartacus announced yet his candidacy?
No.
That is weird.
Because there is an argument to be made. You need to get out there early. If you're that's why they think Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren's goal was to beat Bernie Sanders to announcing. So she can be the main socialist candidate.
Do we still have the audio of her getting herself? I'm going to get me a beer. Do we? Because it's just
horrible.
Horrible.
She's actually worse than Hillary Clinton when it comes to delivery,
really?
Which is really hard to say.
There's nobody that could have beaten Hillary Clinton until Elizabeth Warren comes onto the stage. Do we have that video? Okay, we're getting. It's just so we have to have that handy because it's just. So ridiculously bad. Anyway, we had some other announcements that happened.
Yes, Tulsi Gabbard, running for president.
From Hawaii.
From Hawaii. Mm-hmm. She is a very left-wing, and in fact, kind of running in that that area where she wants to kind of be to the left of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. She is, you know, every policy you can think of, you know, Ocasio-Cortez. Think Ocasio-Cortez. That's essentially who she is. She was Ocasio-Cortez before Ocasio-Cortez was Ocasio-Cortez. She was Ocasio-Cortez when Ocasio-Cortez was serving drinks at a Mexican restaurant in Union Square.
So like 3 years ago.
No, well, not that long. She is having some issues because she's announced. And, you know, of course, when you announce to run for president, people generally will look into your background, even apparently if you're a Democrat, which I didn't know. I didn't know that happened on the left.
No, but I know they check in case you want to do something important, like, you know, host the Oscars.
Then you have to know every tweet that has ever come out.
Right.
However, running for president as a Democrat, I didn't know you had any background check. Mm-hmm. But they have looked into her background and discovered that she apparently had some very, very strong anti-LGBTQIA plus viewpoints.
That's not a joke, by the way.
What do you mean? That she didn't have those viewpoints, or that LGBT? I'm trying to get all those.
Yeah,
I know.
And I just want to point out that that's it's not a joke.
Well, Quilt Bag is also not a joke.
I know.
And Quilt Bag 2 is not a joke.
I know.
Quilt Bag 2 Electric Boogaloo is a joke.
Yes.
That's not actually true, but I feel like if we get ahead with Electric Boogaloo, we can get all the groups that are coming in the future just kind of fit into those letters.
All right, so she has an anti-Quilt Bag 2 kind of stance.
She does.
Or history.
She does. She was, her father, I guess, was a big anti-gay marriage activist back in the day. They you know, tried to push through an amendment to ban gay marriage. I think they were successful even in Hawaii. This shows how fast this has changed over the past 10 or 15 years. But she worked, her father's group was promoting gay conversion therapy, which is something you're not, I mean, this is not even a, like, again, like, forget what you think about that. It's like, that is not a position you can have as a left-wing candidate in the Democrat Party, right? Like,
ever.
Like, right. And it's like, if Kevin Hart, for a nothing joke 10 years ago, can't host the Oscars, the Democrats are going to elect a congresswoman who was for gay conversion therapy in the 2000s? In the 2000s? Like, there's just no way, I would think. But she's trying to now back off of that, of course. She now says she totally disagrees with it. And you should understand that she was won over to the viewpoint. Basically the same point Kevin Hart was making, that no one gave him any benefit of the doubt for. She's trying to make here.
He was doing it for a joke. She, of course, was doing it for real.
She was an activist on the cause.
I know, but she now wants to position herself as a vice presidential candidate, which would be great. Yeah, diversity lives, I guess.
And that is a point to be made. She doesn't even think she can be the president of the United States. I think she thinks, can I be Bernie Sanders' VP? Can I be, you know, let's say Bernie Sanders wins. Tulsi Gabbard, could that be the VP? That's the sort of thing she's looking for.
Hey, maybe Putin's looking for a running mate.
That's possible, too. We can ask about that.
Right.
Same thing with Julian Castro, right? Like, does anyone think you're going from the HUD secretary to the president of the United States? I mean, look, crazier things have happened. However.
Really?
Yeah. Crazier things have happened. However, does anybody believe Julian Castro is a dynamic enough personality to pull that one off?
No.
My guess is no.
Yeah.
So another person who's in there, like if Elizabeth Warren were to win, Elizabeth Warren, Julian Castro, maybe. Joe Biden, maybe. You know, like there's a certain amount of people. There's three different categories here, I feel like. You have the people who actually think they can win. There are the people who are kind of going for VP. And then there's the people who are just trying to introduce themselves to you, so that in the future they can run for something big. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Gabbard and Castro are probably more in that third category than even the second. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be an interesting road to see her try to explain that to Democrat activists all across the country. Hey, I know when you were like, you know, like when your kids that are now 18, when they were 10, I was working really hard against gay marriage and for gay conversion therapy. But believe me, I'm now a left-wing candidate. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not even a Democratic candidate.
Yeah.
I am a hardcore left-wing candidate. Right.
That's going to be an interesting pitch.
Yeah.
We get down. This is a buffet. We have a two-year buffet of 20 Democrat candidates all trying to kill each other and move further to the left.
This
is going to be a glorious buffet of candy.
Yeah.
Every single day you're going to wake up with another one of these stories for the next 2 years.
Where things like them partying on the beach half naked really will just like that small potatoes. Have you heard who else is running? All right, I've cleaned out a lot of the commercials and tried to streamline the show for you. So we're back into the show within a minute in this half hour. And we want to thank our sponsor, LifeLock, LifeLock.com. There are so many things that are going on today with intrusions into your privacy and people taking information from you. There was a story today on the front page of The Blaze on how Google has patented some things where they want cameras in every single room of your house. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know about you.
Well, if they really want them, there's probably something. They'll probably customize their ads better. So,
yeah,
okay,
and they can sell stuff to you. Yeah, they can sell stuff to you. So it's worth it. Anyway, somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. And there's no way you're going to be able to catch all of this stuff. LifeLock.com is your best hope. LifeLock.com watches the things like your social security number, not just your credit cards, but also your credit cards. They watch absolutely everything that has your name on it, and they can tell you if your social security number is being sold on the dark web or somebody is trying to use your credit cards for some other reason. It's really a tangled, tangled web, and you can't stand guard.
I mean, you listen to the news. How do you not have this at this point? I mean, it's so important because every day there's a new crazy hack from not only a foreign government or just some criminal group. They're coming after identities.
Did you see the actual ad? Where is this story? I have a story today where there was an actual ad for somebody saying, hey, you know, we're a hacker group and we're looking for some people who are self-starters.
I saw that too.
Dark Overlord. Here it is. Listen to this. Dark Overlord, a cybercrime collective known for blackmailing big TV studios and insurance companies, is hiring. Specifically, it's hiring software designers and systems engineers with at least 10 years of experience. 10 years of experience of doing what? To bring innovative approaches to operations and think outside the box. This is a corporate job posting that was found by the cyber threat intelligence company Digital Shadows. So Dark Overlord is looking to fill at least 4 vacant positions with a candidate that, quote, has a winning attitude. These are people who are hackers. They're advertising. Now, I don't know if they're providing any benefits, but I will tell you, this is how organized it's getting. So you need LifeLock. Use the promo code Beck right now. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck. 10 seconds, station ID. Oh, my God. Look at this. You know what the annual salary is? I mean, I think I might apply. $762,000 a year. You have a 90-day probationary period.
Oh, good.
With an expected increase to $1.068 million after 2 years.
Wow. I guess, though, you know, it's one of those things like if they'll pay you a lot to go work on an oil derrick in the middle of the sea. But like a lot of people don't want to do that. There's probably some systems engineers that don't want to cross the line into blatantly illegal activity. So you kind of have to pay.
This is crazy. They posted 4 open roles on something called the Kickass Forum.
Huge fan. That's my homepage.
It's a cybercrime job marketplace that charges a finder's fee. And their tagline is life's too short not to be rich.
That's a fair point. I kind of
crazy?
Agree. Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, obviously, what's their justification for being in existence? Is this like a Silk Road thing that's going to get shut down at some point as soon as it becomes a news story?
Yeah, it's the Kick-Ass website?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't. I mean, look. I mean, Google search. See Kick-Ass Forum. See if.
Yeah, sure. Let me get on the government
watch list.
Red you're flag a, list. What
dude,
is it? Kick-Ass Forum?
Kick-Ass Forum. Capital A, It's capital K and capital A.
It seems like they might be moving it around, a little bit. Because the one of the first things is, does someone have a new kick-ass link? And they must be moving the site around.
Why do you say
shockingly? Well, it does seem like it might be blatantly illegal and that a lot of places would want to shut it down.
Yeah, it might be on the dark web. I feel like
you click on the wrong thing here.
And hang on. The world's most expensive paging service. Jason in the writer's room. See if you can go on the Onion. What is it? The Onion router. And go onto the dark web and see if you can find Kick-Ass Forum and print some of the stuff off it. Let's see what else they're advertising for.
Yeah, because everyone's looking for maybe a secondary job here and there.
Sure.
You know, maybe.
Sure, you work from home. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just blackmail people. That's it. No big deal.
It's a growing industry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, speaking of blackmailing people, if you would like to continue to live in California, there's a new system of squeezing all of the blood out of you. Have you heard Gavin Newsom, his recommendation on taxing water, taxing drinking water? He says there are too many people in California that just can't even drink the water. It's so bad in California. Since when did California become India?
Yeah. I know. It's a ridiculous thing because they're trying to say, I loved how they were like, look, there's been problems with drinking water in California. One of the places is the Mojave Desert. Well, again,
been a problem with drinking water in the Mojave Desert.
It's like, it does kind of seem like
Death Valley. There's no drinking fountains.
But they want to get more money and charge people because, you know, people in California do not pay enough taxes. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the people who are opposing this are saying, you guys have a $15 billion surplus right now because of all the other taxes you're taxing people. So if you have an issue, you could probably pull from that to pay for it, which does seem relatively sane. However, why stop? They get all these things through. You know, California, they just keep making this worse and worse for the people living there. And that's why so many places are running.
Gavin Newsom said, we've met with residents who cannot even drink or bathe in the water in their homes. Since when did the water in California get so bad that you couldn't bathe in your own home? And is that a problem for all of California's, or the problem really lies with, I don't know, the state? Isn't that kind of one of your basic things that you should have gotten down, I don't know, like 100 years ago with the rest of the nation?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I've got to make a prediction on California when we come back, too. By the way, I want to tell you here about Relief Factor. Relief Factor, if you are in pain, this is the thing that I want you to try. Now, it is 100% drug-free. It's created by doctors, but it has four key ingredients that help your body fight against inflammation. Inflammation is the number one problem. So if you can't sleep through the night because of pain, you have neck, shoulder, back, hip, knee pain, whatever your pain is, what are the things that pain is stopping you from doing? Get your life back. Try it. I did a year ago. I still take it every single day. 70% of the people who try the 3-week quick start just to see if it works, 70% go on to order month after month after month like I do. It's a way to get your life back. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
If you miss any part of the show, you can get the whole thing without commercials. Available on podcasts every single day. Go subscribe wherever free podcasts are sold.
Pat Gray joins us on the Glenn Beck program. Pat, what is the, Stu and I can't come up with the right word. When a state would take over something, it's not to nationalize something. Is state-ize? What?
It's called to statify.
Statify. Okay, thank you very much.
You statify the issue.
I think they're going to statify power in California. Have you heard?
Oh, yeah.
The biggest provider of electricity and gas, power and light in California has declared bankruptcy. You
is
watch.
Is it PG&L? Is it they're Pacific?
Gonna, yeah, I think it is.
Gas and electric?
Yeah, and they're going to statify it.
Are they really?
No, that's my prediction.
That's your prediction.
They're going to statify it.
Okay.
I mean, is that not the perfect opportunity?
Yeah.
You might as well go for it while the Democrats are getting further and further to the left.
Right.
We have
these
candidates coming out.
Just take it.
I mean,
it.
Now Ocasio-Cortez is like the celebrity of all celebrities for some reason, which, by the way, is the greatest thing that's ever happened to Republicans. Hold
She's
on story.
Great.
I mean, that is they're like, oh, you're afraid of her. Are we? Yeah. You know what? If we're so afraid, you should totally put her on TV more. Totally. Yeah,
please,
it's a great idea.
Please. Let's change the Constitution so she can run for president.
I'm for that.
Yeah. Just a special exception for her. And just for her.
And then Tulsi Gabbard. Like, I mean, is this is really who the Democrats are putting out?
Well, she's really getting some serious flack now because she announced over the weekend that she's in for running for president. And so as you guys mentioned a few minutes ago, they checked into her past.
Mm-hmm.
And her past includes supporting, and I'm not sure, you guys said it was an anti-gay thing. The only thing that I can find from her is kind of pro-traditional marriage stuff.
Okay.
But you can't be pro-traditional marriage.
Well,
She was working for the organization. So.
She was. And she said some things in support of her mom, who is being attacked by gay activists.
Right.
So she sort of attacked people who were attacking her mom. Is that outrageous?
No. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah,
what
that's
What kind
crazy.
Of horrific person are you?
But she cannot run if she is saying, hey, my parents have a different position than me, and they have a right to have a different position than I do on gay marriage, et cetera.
Right.
You can't run.
When 70% of your job as a Democrat is to call Republicans homophobic or racist or whatever for whatever comment, how can you do that when your mom and your dad, unless you're calling them, are you willing to call your mom and your dad homophobic?
Well, she can't. Right. I mean, she's not going to.
But she should. Like, consistency would indicate should be able to call them homophobic.
Oh,
right.
Yes. Silly and rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
And I used to be homophobic, too, I guess, is what she could say. And she could say it was because she's only 37 now, I think. So she was 19 years old when this
Can
was going
on. Can
we
stop with all
19.
Of this? You know what's so crazy is that we're talking about this, and I don't know if you've seen in Chechnya, there is a real issue with the Russians in Chechnya rounding up and disappearing, torturing and killing homosexuals. Mm. And the LGBT organizations
in Russia.
Yeah,
but have they tweeted anything that's anti-gay? Have they tweeted anything?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well.
So, this is what we should be talking about here in the United States.
Yes.
If you want to talk about gay issues, that's what we should be talking about. Not about this stupid thing in Hawaii.
And Islamic State throwing them off of the top of buildings.
No, but this one is brand new now. I mean, that's been going on for a while. This charge now in Chechnya is new. It's been going on for a while, but there's new evidence that has just come out.
That's stuff we never hear about either.
Never.
They don't seem to even care about any of that. It's always the focus is always on somebody's tweet.
Yeah, I know.
No, and there's
ridiculous.
Real things happening right now.
It shows that they never actually cared about it, right? I mean, this is they were all saying that, oh, it's a foundational part of my belief system that gay marriage is wrong a few years ago. And as soon as the polls cross the right way and now it's favored by the American people, everyone who doesn't believe as they do is immoral and homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like none of these positions are actually their positions. They're just saying whatever benefits them at the moment.
So I listened to Andrew Heaton on Friday, and his podcast with this guy, this author, scientist, that did a study on how we are not more polarized as a nation. We think we are, but we're actually not more polarized. He said we're just better sorted, and that's why you see the independents growing. There are more independents than there are Democrats or Republicans. So it's just that we're more sorted, and most people are not all 100%. They're just not ideologues that are like, I believe in everything that Democrat says. I believe in everything that Republican says. They're not like that. And what happens is when we get to the election, we're forced into one of these two things. You know, it's either A or B. A or B, choose, or I blow your head off. Mm-hmm. And so Americans have to go that way. But what's happened is it started in Congress to where Congress became, because of the districts, they became so radicalized. And then the party said, you have to believe this or you're out. And so it's really not changed. What's changed is we're better sorted now. The parties have ostracized everyone who disagrees with anything but the party line. And so they've become extreme, but the American people have not.
Mm. Well, that's not true of the 30 Democrats that are going to be running for president in 2020, because you can go all the way from socialism clear to communism in
the
that
whole
party.
Spectrum.
That's, the whole spectrum.
Wow, that's pretty. That's
so
diverse.
I mean, that's wide open. Yeah, that's, they got a big tent.
That's
in the
one of the
party.
Things that we're. That's one of the things that we're trying to do at the Blaze, and one of the reasons why I was so disappointed that Gavin McInnes, who by the way is going to be on one of my podcasts.
Coming
up. The man that you persecuted, hunted down, and tried to kill.
Nothing to do with it. In fact. Well, I did try to kill him, but I didn't have him fired. Anyway, that's one of the things that I am so proud of with the Blaze is you can go from somebody who is, you know, right on the edge of anarchy, but still has conservative kind of principles.
Like libertarianism.
Libertarian,
to the extreme.
You know, yeah, libertarian to the extreme. Or you can go to the GOP guy that's like, no, I love Lindsey Graham. You can go, and that is a spectrum. That is a spectrum. And that is a spectrum that we have to keep together. Because if we don't, then we're part of the extremist movement in the parties. We have to be able to go, yeah, I disagree with that guy on this, but here are the big principles that we do agree on, and we can come together on it.
Yeah, and I like hearing, you know, across that spectrum, because it's where you get challenged, right? Like, I don't get challenged by watching CNN and watching some crazy leftist come up and say something that I know is nowhere close to my value system. But if I hear something from another conservative that has a different take on something, I find that to be much more interesting.
So proud of one of the researchers on the economy that... is informing me now on some things, and he wrote this morning and he said, hey Glenn, you and I both believe depression is coming, not a recession, depression, but here are the two best arguments against why this is not coming. And you know, we were exchanging emails this morning that how important it is that when you really truly believe something, that you find, continually look not for the confirmation bias stuff, but for the stuff that is constantly informing you on the other side, going, well, wait a minute, not so fast.
I'd like to maybe hear not. The two best reasons that it's not coming. That might be a little comforting.
Well, yeah, I'll win the lottery is number one.
It wasn't.
I didn't buy into it, but it wasn't. Okay. Let me show you this.
Okay.
May I show you this video? And you have to do a Google search. Just do a Google search for F-35 flat spin. Okay. This is something that it's on the Aviationist, which is a, you know, obviously a, you know, a kind of a pilot and a plane freaks headquarters. Watch. This is the new F-35 that everybody says, oh, this is a waste of money. I just want you to watch this. It's going to go into a flat spin. You know what a flat spin is?
I think so.
Okay. So when a plane just kind of stops and then is staying vertical or no, staying horizontal, but then just kind of spinning down towards the ground, okay? Watch what happens as they're like, whoa, it's a flat spin. Watch this.
That's
okay, now it's going almost straight up. Okay, it's going to make a loop. And then it's going to go into a flat spin, but then it's going to do something amazing. Okay, loop.
Is the pilot going to be conscious while he's doing this?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, it's amazing. Watch. Flat spin. See, it's just kind of... Now watch. It stopped. It's just hovering, and then it turns and goes another direction.
Wow.
Is that the most incredible thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like it's falling from the sky, and then it just stops in midair like it's on a string. And then the nose of it just turns around and is like, hey, what's behind me? And takes off the other direction. Wow.
There's nothing less persuasive to me of these arguments of like we're wasting money on new military technology.
No.
A lot of times libertarians will bring that up. And look, they make points that we do waste money. We absolutely do waste
money.
However, there are certain things that I don't mind throwing money at and blowing. And it's like trying to come up with the new mega super plane that's going to outdo every one of our foes is a good goal there.
The thing that I have not seen anywhere that I would love to see, and somebody in a movie is going to make this, maybe the new Top Gun movie will do this. But
there is one, by the way.
What?
That is real, by the way. Yeah. There is a new Top Gun coming out.
So the F-35, the most incredible thing I think of is it's invisible to the pilot. Do you know this?
No.
So, you know how in Top Gun, they're always like, where is he? Where is he? And they're trying to turn around and look.
Mm-hmm.
The shield that they put is virtual. And it allows their cameras all over the plane. And so when you're flying it, you look down, you see through your legs, you see through the floor, you're seeing to the ground. You look to the side. There is no plane. You don't see anything except the controls in front of you.
Wow.
So it's like you're just flying in Wonder Woman's plane. There's nothing blocking your vision anywhere in the plane.
That's pretty cool.
Is that crazy?
That's pretty cool.
Can you imagine driving down the highway and be like, man, this is a bumpy road, and looking down towards your lap and being able to see what's underneath your car?
I'm not sure I want to.
No, I know. I'm still dragging that raccoon. All right, Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. Thanks, Pat. All right, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the way to hire somebody fast. Now, it's not the dark web. As we told you a few minutes ago, they're actually on the dark web. They're looking for $765,000. You can get into blackmail and hack into people's businesses. That's not something that ZipRecruiter is going to help you with. But if you are looking for you're looking for a job, or you're looking to hire somebody, ZipRecruiter is the fastest way in the industry to get somebody within the hour that is qualified for your job.
I mean, can you think of that? I mean, we've gone through this process so many times, and it didn't improve until we got ZipRecruiter. But like that could be weeks long. You know, I mean, a disaster.
Yeah.
And to get something in an hour, at least you'll know what your floor is. Even
right.
Like, you're like, okay, here's someone who would be great for the job. Let's see if we could even do better.
Right. And they're not even. It's not somebody who's like, well, yeah, there's somebody in Alaska. I mean, unless your job is hiring from anywhere in the world, they will find somebody around you.
And you can customize all that, right?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. They have floors of technology people that are constantly tweaking the algorithms. It's smart technology to find the person that is absolutely right for you. ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. If you love the show, if you want to support this show, please visit our advertisers and use them. Now, this one is free just so you can try it out and see the difference. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. The smartest way to hire. On a personal note, I'd like to ask for your prayers for my family this week. On Saturday, Friday, my youngest, Cheyenne, was not feeling well, and Saturday, we took her into urgent care, and then she was taken right away to Children's Hospital in Fort Worth, and we thought for a while she was going to have surgery. In fact, we thought that until about 11 o'clock on Saturday night. We finally got out of there, I think, around 3 a.m., they found some things internally, and I don't want to get into all the details, but they said they've never seen it in a child before, which is weird. So she's got to go through some more testing, and we just like you to keep her in your prayers. At the same time, my oldest daughter is also in the hospital. She'll be in the next 4 to 10 days undergoing testing for possibility of brain surgery. She has seizures, and they just keep getting worse, and she just, you know, makes it impossible for her to work. It makes it impossible for her to drive or have a life, and she's just she's kind of at the end of her rope there on that kind of stuff. And so she's having some testing done here in Dallas. And we're actually praying that she can have brain surgery. Not that they, not that she can't, but that she can. So whatever the outcome is, pray that our family is able to deal with all of the outcomes. So
that makes my Eagles loss into perspective a little bit. My feeling.
I will tell you, my son and I were having an interesting. I don't know if you'd call it a conversation about his homework on Saturday. And that's why I didn't go in with Cheyenne with urgent care. And then when she was taken to the children's hospital, it's strange how fast that conversation of homework just ended. And he was like, "Dad, I got it. I got it." I mean, it puts things into perspective.
We waste so much time on nonsense.
We do.
Don't we?
We really do. We really do. Mm. But the good news is we're back with another 2 hours of nonsense in just a second. Stand by. I want to talk to you a little bit about Home Title Lock, our sponsor. Home Title Lock is something that both Stu and I have, and we all got it. Pat has it, too. We all got it separately because we all kind of talked to this sponsor. We're like, holy cow. And so each of us signed up for it and then told the other one, boy, have you seen this yet? This is something that I can't believe nobody is watching. The title of your home, especially if you have parents who have paid off their home, there's a good chance somebody can go in and steal that. It's really, really simple. And only one company is watching those titles to make sure that you don't become a victim.
Yeah, Home Title Lock. If you have equity, you're a big target. If you're the ones doing it right and paying your house off, you're the target. HomeTitleLock.com is the place to go. They have a free title scan to see if anything's happened to you so far. It is free, $100 value, free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. It's HomeTitleLock.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's an amazing story about a newly elected Democratic Congresswoman. Her name is Rashida Tlaib. She has hosted an unabashed anti-Semitic terrorist supporter. Is this a problem for the new Democratic Party? Well, there's a new study out that shows who the new Democratic Party is. Now, this is different than the Democratic voter. Who is the new Democratic Party? It's fascinating. We get into it in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Only 2 minutes in this half hour where we stop down to tell you about a sponsor. This is one of them. And then right back into programming. It's Blinds.com. No, it's not. It's not Blinds.com. It is Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, always, always there to protect your valuables. Liberty Safe, firearms, ammo, gold, jewelry, marriage license. You know, the normal things. And then you get into things like creepy, weird things that tell you a lot about the individual who owns the safe, like purses.
You mean someone who recognizes where most of his salary goes and thinks those things should be protected?
I mean,
someone smart like that?
I mean, I'm just saying that if most of your salary, if the most valuable thing you have, Stu, in your collection is a purse.
No, it's not the most valuable thing I have. It's the most valuable 12 things I have.
It's crazy. It's just
it's my
crazy.
Life. I'm just used to it.
Anyway, number one safe manufacturer in the nation, and they have sold more than 2 million safes for a reason. They're the best built in the industry, bar none. So they offer exclusive features like military locking bars, which, Stu, you should have those for extra added protection.
I like this idea.
You know, fire seals that are second to none, plus all of their full-size safes come with a lifetime warranty. So whatever you're protecting in your Liberty Safe, make sure it is in a Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, the best-built safes on the planet, bar none. Now you can get them interest-free with approved credit. Check out their special deals at LibertySafe.com. That's LibertySafe.com. Okay, so one of the people that was at Congressman or Congressperson Rashida Tlaib's swearing-in ceremony and a private dinner with the entire family was Abbas Hamida. Abbas has said things like Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza congratulate and celebrate the heroic operations carried out by Hezbollah, a terrorist organization, by the way. Jewish groups whining about removal of Hamas from the EU terrorist list. Suck it up. Netanyahu is comparing Hamas, a Palestinian national liberation movement, to ISIS. Hello. Happy birthday to the most honorable Arab Muslim leader in our lifetime, Nasrallah. So this guy is, you know, kind of out there on the edge, and everybody's kicking up, you know, dust about it. But is this really any surprise coming from the new Democratic Party? The Democratic Party is about as far left as you can possibly get and out of step. And here's where and I really kind of want to focus on this for a while. The parties have just become organizations for people's pet projects. So, in other words, you might disagree with abortion and you don't want to fund Planned Parenthood. Well, there's one organization that you can go to that's going to fight, they say, to stop it, and that is the Republican Party. If you are for abortion all the way up until birth or beyond, you can go to the Democratic Party. But that doesn't mean we're in lockstep with everything else. Those are the edges of the party, but those are the only things the parties are talking about, because they're super serving these hyper-political edges. And they're the edges that the Democrats have gone to. I think if the American Democrat, the voter in America, really would look at what their party has welcomed in and become, they would realize they are way out of step with them as voters.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying for years and years and years and years, and I know the audience has felt this as well, that the Democratic Party has become more and more extreme, more and more liberal. And all those times we've been saying that, we now know we were right, because there are extensive studies on this now, and there's a new one out talking about the split between liberals, moderates, and conservatives within the Democratic Party. And a lot of times we say, like, remember back, you know, in the Clinton days, and Bill Clinton, meaning, like, they were different. Like, they would make these arguments about, I mean, the era of small government is over.
That's
was
Bill
something
Clinton.
That Bill Clinton said. A Democratic president said the big government. Did I say small?
No,
the
big government.
The era of big government is over. So looking back now to that era, back to 1994. You see the split between liberals, conservatives, and moderates in the Democratic Party. In 1994, it was 25% conservative. Okay, 25% of the Democratic Party considered themselves conservative Democrats. Okay, 48% considered themselves moderate Democrats, and 25% considered themselves liberal Democrats. Stop and think about that just for a second. An equal percentage of Democrats considered themselves liberal as conservative.
Liberal
equal.
back then was progressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, progressive is what they meant back then by saying liberal. So only 25% of the Democratic Party would have considered themselves a progressive.
Yeah. And you think about that. That's the hardcore, right? Those are the people who would say, yeah, you know what? I'm all for government health care. I'm all for, you know,
the Bernie Sanders of the world.
Exactly. The Bernie Sanders group. So that was only 25% of the Democratic Party. But there was 25% that were considered themselves to be conservative, right? So that might be someone who is
Joe Lieberman.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman, right?
Somebody who was a hawk on defense, maybe was a hawk on kind of spendings for the Democrats.
Sometimes they'd be pro-life, right? Even though they agree with big programs and stuff. There was a group there at one point, and that was, you know, a quarter of the party. So those things have changed. Okay.
How much?
So conservatives, who were 25% of the Democratic Party, now are 12. So more, and that's
Name
even
them.
Hard to believe, right? That's, I mean, if you look at the Democrats too, about 12% approve of Trump,
right? Like, it's about that era or area. So there are some people who consider themselves Democrats, whether this is an old family sort of like brand that they had from back in the day, and they still consider themselves conservative.
Now, is this
Democrats,
in the party? Wait. Is this in the party?
Yes, these are the party.
This is the party. This is not the voter. These are the people in Washington.
No, this is everyone who's in the party. So if you're a Democrat voter.
If you declare a Democrat, this is who you are.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're not an independent that leans Democrat, but a Democrat, a person who, and that's, you know, a good chunk of the country.
Okay.
So from 25 to 12, that's something to not just brush over. You've cut the people who consider themselves conservative in the party more than in half. Mm-hmm. Second is moderate. Now, moderate was 48% of the party. A full half of the party considered themselves to be moderate Democrats. Today, it's only a third, from 48 to 33%.
Wow.
A significant drop.
Yeah.
Now, those two things would indicate to you that perhaps liberals have gone up. And you're going to be surprised to hear that that's true. Liberals, which were 25% of the party back in the mid-90s, are now 51% of the party.
Wow.
More than half of the party now considers themselves to be liberal. And now, obviously, to conservatives, probably every Democrat seems liberal to you. But there's a different choice of saying about yourself, right? Like, you're identifying, yeah, I'm out there. Right. I'm as far left as you can get. You're saying I am going for the universal health care. I am going for all of these giant programs and all the tax increases. And this is Ocasio-Cortez. Half the party is now identifying themselves. And it's interesting to see how that happens, because it can happen two different ways. One way is the liberal point is winning out among the Democratic people. They're sitting there and they're looking, well, you know what? We used to triangulate, and we used to try to move to the middle and win voters, but I don't like that. That didn't work. We got to go more liberal. That could be part of it, right? The other part of it is, though, the voters who were conservative and who were moderate are leaving and are becoming independent.
Your 45% is not on the Ocasio-Cortez. 45% of that party are not on that train. They may be here and there on certain programs, et cetera, but they don't consider themselves. That's a huge number inside of the party.
Yeah.
And again, I think this goes to sorting, Stu. Mm-hmm. This is why the parties have become more extreme, but the American people haven't necessarily. Well, no, I mean, this is the American people.
It is. However,
45% are leaving the Democratic Party or would like another choice because they're not Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. I think the interesting thing to look at here, and we'll know this more as time goes on, are these people who, I think it's both. I think people who were moderate Democrats before and were in the Democratic Party and been there for a long time have decided we want essentially Bernie Sanders, but probably in a younger, more attractive package, right? Like, they're saying, you know what? I just don't want to deal with I don't believe this moderate thing works anymore. And they become liberal. And conservatives maybe have become moderate or liberal in that party. The other thing, though, is people who were conservatives, it's no longer a place to stand. If you are a conservative Democrat, how can you possibly belong to that organization anymore? How can you possibly be surrounded by people like Ocasio-Cortez, people who, like Tom Perez, who are saying, hey, Ocasio-Cortez is the future of our party, and if you are pro-life, we want you out, right? Like, so people are leaving, and they're becoming moderates, and they may still vote for Democrats, but they're becoming less and less attached to Democrats, because what they see there is a growing group of the furthest left voters and people in control getting the absolute grasp on the party. And when it's 51% that are liberal, that's why you're seeing these candidates like Tulsi Gabbard think that they can come out and be competitive.
So I want you to look at something for me. I want to show you some numbers here and show the breakdown of Trump and the loss of Hillary. And see if you can actually make the case with numbers. You're a numbers guy. But see how you can make this case. This, I think, clarifies a lot of the last election. Just that poll, if you look at it and you make some suppositions on what happened to the Democratic voter. If that's who they are, it explains the last election without even going in to the Republican Party. Do that in 1 minute. First, let me tell you about X-Chair. Stu and I are sitting on X-Chairs right now. We love them. X-Chairs, they will support your back the way your back needs to be supported. Your butt feels kind of good, although I don't really have a lot of pain. I don't really have a lot of pains in my butt other than Stu. It's just a really comfortable chair. Now, they have a new model out for a limited time available only to this audience. I want you to try it out. Let us know what you think. It's xchairbeck.com. Now, this is there's the Super X chairs that I think Professor X had a lot to do with, because they do everything but read minds. However, X Basic gives you all of the critical stuff that you need, except it doesn't read minds through your butt, I think. I'm not sure all of the things that the Super X chairs do, but they're really, really great. This X Basic gives you all of the gives everything I love about this chair at a really great price. I want you to try it. When I say try it, you can send it back 30 days. No questions asked. If you don't love the chair, try it. It is really good. You get $100 off right now at xchairbeck.com, X, the letter X, chairbeck.com, or call 844-4X-CHAIR. 30-day, no questions asked, guarantee of complete satisfaction. And if you use the promo code Beck, you're also going to get a free footrest. So go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Break for 10 seconds, station ID. Normally, this would be the time that I would say, Stu, while we're in a commercial break, let me run this theory by you so I don't come back and look like an income poop. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a commercial break here anymore. So let me just run this by you. And please, those in the audience who go, no, duh, just give me a break here for a second. If you have 51% that are on the Ocasio-Cortez train, okay. Mm-hmm. The Bernie Sanders, I'm pretty much a socialist kind of person.
Yeah.
Okay. Unabashed. 33% that say they're moderate. They're leaning one way or another, but, you know, they might be more socialist. They might be more conservative. Okay. And then 12% conservative. Correct. That gives you 45% that's in the middle to the right.
Yes.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And 51% who's on the definite diehard left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 20% of Democrats voted for Donald Trump. 20% of those who say, I am a Democrat, that's who voted for Trump, correct? The number is about 20% Democrat.
I'd have to check the exact stat on that. I know there was a large percentage, though, of Democrats right. that
I could be wrong on that. Over. I've heard it was about 20%.
And you've heard this before. It's the Obama-Trump voter.
Like yes.
They voted for Correct. Obama. They came over and voted for Trump.
Correct. There's
a large group of those. And I think...
Yeah, yeah. I should say... You shouldn't say the Democrats. I should say 20% yeah. of those people who voted for Obama...
voted for Trump. I don't know the exact right. breakdown, but it's something okay. like that.
All right.
We don't need to get into the specifics. We know there's a large group there, though.
So if you voted for Obama, I would say that you're probably in the moderate to liberal group.
You'd think so, yeah.
You'd think so.
Right.
I mean, the first one was a strange election because it was historic and everything else.
Yeah, the second one was Romney. It was, yeah.
I think it was 20% that voted for both, or 15% that voted for Obama both times, that voted for Trump. So if that's true, let's just say it's out of that 45 that voted, you know, that says I'm a moderate to conservative, mm-hmm. that 45%. Let's say you just take 25% of that, of 45, or take 20% of it.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves you, again, if you take 20%, that leaves you with 25% that says, no, I'm more of a conservative, so I want Hillary. I want the old school Bill Clinton kind of Democrat.
Right. Thinking of from a Democratic perspective here, not mm-hmm. what we would consider conservatism, but
Correct.
What they would think
they
is
would
a conservative
say.
Democrat.
Right. right. Okay. I just want the tried and true mm-hmm. Democratic Party that I grew up with, that I understand. I want the Bill Clinton stuff. You know, I'm not thrilled with Hillary Clinton, but I certainly don't like Bernie Sanders. I'm not part of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 25% of that middle 45 goes off and they vote for Hillary. then you're left with 50, and 20% go and vote for Trump. Then you're left with the 51% liberal. Well, the liberals, what? 20% of those could not stomach Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, a lot of them didn't show up. Well, some of them went to Jill Stein.
Right.
Right.
I mean, so at least 20% of them said they couldn't stomach. How many actually did? But it was enough for her to lose. That's why. Because the Democratic Party is polarized itself.
Mm-hmm. And they you're going to see these 30 candidates come out running against each other, tripping over each other to get further left to please these activists. Because we always talk about...
But that will only go to aid... Yeah. Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because if you voted as a Democrat for Donald Trump, you weren't being listened to anyone. Who's surveying those people? Who's talking to those people? Who's talking about those people mm-hmm. in the press? The Democrats in the press don't even want to bring up that 15 to 20, 25% of the Democratic people who voted for a Barack Obama voted for Donald Trump. They don't want anything to do with it. That's crazy far right wing stuff.
Yeah,
it's
hard to win them back when you're calling them homophobic and racist and anti-Semitic and everything else.
Correct.
So they have to just basically ignore them.
That 45% is at some degree or some level attracted to the guy at the end of the bar stool that says, you know, can we just stop all this racist stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just stop all of this socialist Marxist bullcrap? And that's who Donald Trump is. And Donald Trump was able to pull people from the Democratic Party because of his history. He had enough in his history to make those voters in the Democratic Party go, you know what? I don't think he really kind of believes all that stuff. I mean, he's for trade wars. You know, mm-hmm. and that traditionally, that's what I remember growing up here in.
That's a big union position for
big union
the
thing,
last
yeah.
century, right? I think that's actually an interesting thing because, and it's interesting how you keep this coalition together for 2020 if you're a Democrat, right? Because to win this primary, you're going to have to be essentially Ocasio-Cortez, right? At least to be competitive. You can't dismiss Medicare for All, for example, to win that primary. You might say, look, I think there's this little modification on it here and there, but they're all going to be going and saying more and more and more and more and more. When someone comes out for Medicare for All, someone's going to come out for something even further than that. We need to get people off of these private insurance programs. We need single payer for the entire country. No more employer-sponsored coverage. They're going to keep going further and further and further. And then it's going to be someone who's going to have to bring it back to a place where they can capture those conservative and moderate Democratic voters. They're playing to the hardcore left throughout the primary, and then they have to figure out a way to bring it back. Trump was able to do that, I think, because of what you're talking about. That sort of plain spoken, like, look, you know, this is just obviously nonsense. And it wasn't specific on policy. Everybody so far in this Democratic primary, and everyone we expect to get in, are all politicians that all talk policy. Like to do that, you need to be a dynamic personality. You think Tulsi Gabbard's going to be able to pull that off?
No.
No.
I can't think of anybody that can pull that off. The only one that could pull off bringing it back to the center is Joe Biden, but he may not be far enough left to win.
Yeah, and this is what, yeah, right. I mean, he may be one of them. You know, this is why they keep flirting with the Oprahs of the world, though. They think somebody like that would be able to do it, and you know, I don't think it's really realistic.
Wow, more in a second.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So do you want to sell your home? Let me tell you some good reasons why you should go to realestateagentsitrust.com. I get letters in all the time from people. Stephanie from Florida, she wrote in and she said, last year we decided to take my transfer my husband's company had offered. We left our home for over 24 years, leaving our children and our grandchildren, knowing already that it was going to be an emotional move. I listen to Glenn Beck almost every day. I heard his advertisement for realestateagentsitrust.com. He said that they had the same kind of integrity that I would have. So I thought, I trust Glenn, why not? I am so glad that I did. Ashley was a godsend. She returned my call within an hour. Not only did she hold the values we expected, but she ended up being such an encouragement to us. We laughed together. We even prayed together. And the sale got squirrely, but she got it done. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Go there now.
Also go to BlazeTV.com. BlazeTV.com. Use the promo code Beck. Save some cash. BlazeTV.com.
This podcast is sponsored by SimpliSafe.com/Glenn. I love doing commercials for SimpliSafe because I have this system. In fact, I have it in my office even, where we have a lot of collectibles. So when we lock up the doors on the weekend, we know nobody's going to, you know, steal the ruby slippers or the cup of a carpenter. SimpliSafe is the best home security. They believe nothing should come between you and protecting your home. SimpliSafe has created a system where you own the alarm system. So for $14.95 a month, they give you the 24/7 monitoring. It's all wireless, so you don't have to worry about somebody cutting the lines or the power going out. All of it still works. Get a jump on protecting your home the SimpliSafe way. SimpliSafe.com/Glenn. G-L-E-N-N. No time like the present. This is how you protect your home and your stuff. SimpliSafe.com/Glenn. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Talking about the left and the right and how they've changed so much. And part of this is, too, going into some of these kind of crazy policies that they do. For example, California now wants to tax water. They want to actually tax your drinking water. And this is sort of going on the same thing that we've seen this movement over the past few years about taxing soda. It's a sin tax, right? Soda's bad for you. You shouldn't drink it, in theory. Of course, I totally disagree with that analysis, but it's very bad for you and you shouldn't drink it. So therefore, we're going to tax it. Philadelphia did this. The first academic study about this is out now. And the results are pretty amazing. First of all, in Philadelphia, people did not cut calories as a result of the tax on sweetened drinks. They didn't shift their drinking to anything more healthy. Instead, what they did is they got in their cars and they drove across the city line and they bought all their soda there. And of course, when you're buying all your soda there, you're also buying your groceries there. So this is a boon to the economies outside of the border. We dealt with this when we were in Philadelphia. There's a wage tax in Philadelphia, but not in the surrounding communities. So everyone, there's this one road called City Line Avenue, mm-hmm. and everyone builds their businesses on the other side of City Line Avenue to avoid Philadelphia's stupid wage tax.
And the reason why it's called City Line, it's where the line yeah. of the city is. Yeah. I mean, the city officially ends in the center of that street. And it is the most incredible thing. It will show you the difference between free markets and state-run, heavy-run, heavy tax, because you go down that street
yep.
and you're driving around and you're looking to your right, which is surprisingly free market. You're driving around the circle to your right and you're looking and you're seeing prosperity. You look the other way into the city on your left and it's just blight. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy. It is the best example of what a big, progressive, high-tax city does to a community, because it is literally in the center of the road. It's blight and poverty and Saks Fifth Avenue on the other side.
Amazing. We're going to get back into this Democratic-Republican thing here in a second, but just to give you the final take on this study. We find no significant reduction in calorie and sugar intake. This is what it's been sold on, right? Like that it's going to help people not be as fat mm-hmm. and not be as mm-hmm. unhealthy. The tax does not lead to a shift towards healthier products. And most importantly, again, like the Democrats are the working man's people, right? It affects low income households more severely because they are, and it is also limited in its ability to raise revenue. So obviously, people are avoiding the tax, so it's not raising revenue. And the people hit hardest by it are the people who don't have the cars, who don't have the ability to go out of town to buy all their stuff. So they get hit with a tax over and over and over and over again. The poor people who can't leave.
If you're going to work on a bus,
it's amazing.
If you're going to work on a bus, you're paying for the tax. And unfortunately, you don't have the money to pay for the tax. And so you just stop drinking soda, maybe. Well, or you just shift your funds someplace else. and you have less money.
In fact, they actually showed that people did not switch. They just wound up having to pay for it and had less money for other things.
Correct.
In fact, what they showed is there was a decrease in soda sales inside of Philadelphia. However, the increase in soda sales in the surrounding communities actually made all of it back and more. So overall, there was an increase in soda because people, you know, it's this thing, like, I want to avoid the soda tax. I'm going to go load up while I'm out there. So they bought more soda and they brought it back and drank more soda. So if you really believe soda's so evil, you actually had people consuming more of it in your city. I mean, it doesn't work on any level. And yet they're still trying to pop this up all over the country.
I'm telling you, this is what we're going to have the problem with basic minimum income.
Mincome.
It fails every single time it's tried.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep trying it.
One of the first experiments was Richard Nixon, actually, here. He tried it in the United States, and it failed, and they banned it. They just did it in Finland. They had this grand experiment touted by liberals and progressives all over the world.
I think they did it with Berkeley, too. They did it in, didn't they do they it
started
in Oakland?
Doing it in Berkeley. Yeah, they started. I don't know. I haven't seen the outcome on that one yet. But Finland, I know, failed. They canceled the program.
I think it failed in California as well. And they've just revamped it. Oh, no, it's going to work. Yeah. It doesn't work. And that, I think that is the next stage is basic minimum income. It's socialism. And what it does is it just kills the spirit. You can't change basic human nature. And that's the difference between the free market and progressive values. The free market says your people are people. They're going to do what people do. So let's help them do what they want to do. Where progressives say, well, we can change basic human drives.
Because we know better what people should be doing.
Right. You know, so, you know, if we just give them a basic minimum income, no, what will that do? Everybody is pretty much the same. I mean, there are those who are we talking to? Bowie said about a guest that she wanted to bring in. And she said, there's this guy who was 300 pounds and, you know, just knew he was going to die. So wanted to lose weight. So he joins the Marine Corps and he completely goes like balls to the wall. I'm going to live every second of my life.
Yeah.
Okay. There are those people, but that's not who most people are.
No.
You give them the opportunity to slide. They slide. We found out last week, even AI does this. You give it a task, and even AI says, well, I could take some shortcuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Mincome can provide, and Mincome is basically you get money for nothing. You don't have to go to work if you don't know this concept. And it's a real thing they're throwing around for multiple reasons, technology being one of them, socialism being another. But the idea that you can basically get money every week, and you don't have to go to work at all. We implement that thing here. We are WALL-E in a second. Like, I am, if I can get a decent standard of living by not doing anything, I am just going to be I'm already fat, a fat, slovenly guy. I'm going to be in a chair so I don't have to walk, and I will just be slobbering over whatever food I'm shoveling into my mouth within 6 weeks. That's my, I'm advocating for that as a policy of my
Seriously.
Own.
Seriously. How many people that win, you probably would know this number and know how to find it. How many people who win the lottery actually go into work the next day or the next month?
That's interesting. I don't know the number there.
Because if you win
study.
The lottery, you have no real reason to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go do something that you want to do, you know. But as you see, most lottery winners lose all the money.
An incredible amount of them. It's very high,
right.
Higher than you'd ever believe.
Right. They lose the money. Yeah. Why? Because they got it for free. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to, you know, affect their lifestyle that way. And then if they're working, they're probably working not at a job they don't want to have. They're probably like, you know what I've always wanted to be? I've always wanted to be a race car driver. Well, there are no money in race car driving for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's what Mincome will do to people. If you want to work, you will do something that you've always wanted to do, which is great in theory. But most people, you know, follow your heart is not always the best advice.
Your heart is dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeffy's heart was attacking him.
You know what? Better advice? Follow other people's heart. And I don't mean like, oh, what do they have their heart set on? I should do that. I mean, what do other people's heart tell them they need, tell them they want to do? Follow their heart. Make them happy. Serve them. Make their life easier. That's capitalism.
Yeah, it's at least how you're going to be monetarily successful. It's not exactly everybody's goal, right? If that's not your goal. You know, when Nancy Pelosi was talking about some of these topics, she said, we need to let musicians and artists perform their art instead of having to go to work and all the time. That's ridiculous. They should be able to perform their art. And it's like, well, if their art is marketable, sure. If it's not, then no. They can do that on their free time. They can go to a job maybe they don't like, because you know what? Most people don't like their jobs. But if their passion actually is to be a musician and they can't make money doing it, they're going to have to supplement their life by going to an actual job. And then at the end, they can play their guitar. That shouldn't be a crazy concept in the United States. And we shouldn't be subsidizing the fact that somebody who can't really play guitar wants to play guitar.
And especially since so much of that comes through experience and pain. So much art, comedy. It's like, you know what? We're going to make sure every comedian is always happy.
Yeah.
Well, then they're not going to be funny.
No.
They're not going to be funny.
No.
I mean, your experience of life. That's the problem with basic minimum income in a nutshell is... it doesn't give you your life any meaning.
And that's, I think, a sad thing to say, because then we're tying what we do as a job as our meaning in life, and it shouldn't be that
way. Well, no, because most of us tie not to our job, but to our stuff. We tie meaning to our stuff, to our title, to our success. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is the difference between my generation and the millennial generation. They don't want to tie their meaning in life and be my age and go, there's really no meaning to all this stuff. Okay? Well, yeah. They want to do something that makes a difference. That's why I really think it is. Follow someone else's heart. Make a difference in other people's lives. And you'll find meaning in there. And that's what good capitalism should be. We don't get up every day and say, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk, because I would not be talking about 90% of the stuff that I talk about on this show if it were up to me. Today, I'd be talking about art. Tomorrow, I'd be talking about, AI. I do talk about both of those things, but I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to figure out, I spend most of my time trying to figure out what's happening in their life. What's happening in the person who listens to this show? What's happening in their life? What are they struggling with? What are they going to be struggling with? You know, somebody said to me, wow, you've really found like this new pace, this new thing that you're warning people about that's coming. Kind of like I warned about the caliphate and the coming collapse back in 2006 and 2007 before it collapsed. And I said, yeah, I really have. They said, that must be really satisfying. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because I know it. I got it. I understand. I'd much rather be off preparing and doing something else and doing the things that I like than sitting here trying to explain it to people who really, in many cases, at the very beginning each time, do not want to hear it. I don't want to do that. But because I also want to be successful, I have to find a way to do that to where the audience will consume it. So I have to figure out, what are you worried about? What do you want in life? How do I serve you? I'm telling you, it's making friends and influencing people.
Yeah.
It's the book that, you know, came out in the 30s that if we just start thinking not about ourselves, but about others, we'll be successful. And will be fulfilled.
Right, because no one's going to stop you if you are not commercially successful in radio. No one's going to stop you from posting on Twitter all your viewpoints. Just no one's going to, that's the thing, right? Like, you can still express yourself, just like you could still play guitar.
Right.
However, subsidizing the idea that people who can't play guitar should be able to play guitar and still earn money for not being able to play guitar is a terrible idea.
And I don't make the case that when people didn't want to hear my point of view on the collapse in 2006 and 2007, remember how much heat we got for that?
Oh, yeah. We're getting subsidized?
Or in the caliphate. I'm not saying somebody should pay for me and force people to listen. No. I'm not saying that. If my view is out of step, it's my job to figure out how to make that something that people want or need. And if I can't, I lose and I'm out. But you know what? Then I'm probably wrong, you know, because I can't make my case to people. All right. What happened to Bitcoin this weekend? Do you have any idea?
It went down a little bit.
What did it end in?
$300 or so. I mean...
Oh, down $300. Yeah. Didn't end at $300.
No, it didn't end at $300. That would be very bad.
I'd be like, oh, you should have mentioned that earlier. Because I don't think it was that bad, Stu.
Yeah, no, it was a drop. You know, but it's been bouncing around the same area for a couple months.
They've been saying that they think that it might hit a new low because something's going on, and you could make the case that these are the whales that are getting out. These are the industries that are saying, you know what, I was parking on the sidelines before they go in and gobble it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the one thing I do know is cryptocurrency is here to stay. In what form? I don't know. Bitcoin and blockchain here to stay. Please find out all you can about it because it is part of your future. So I'm not saying invest in it. I'm saying learn about it right now. SmartCryptoCourse.com. Call 877-PBL-BECK and get more information. 877-PBL-BECK. SmartCryptoCourse.com. So who could win this election for the Democrats? Because the Democrats they're putting in the most extreme candidates. And that's because that's who the Democratic Party, as Stu pointed out earlier in the hour, that's who the Democratic Party really is 51% are progressives.
Yeah. And now that's doubled in the last 20 years. Doubled the percentage that think that they're liberals and progressives slash socialists in some cases,
but
as opposed to moderates and conservatives in the party.
But what the political players in the world, and I mean the media and the Democrats or Republicans, the institutions, they see that as the country's becoming more socialist. But it's not. It's actually, you know, it's more progressive. It's more it wants 100 different categories for male and female. No. Your overall number is getting smaller and you're starting to focus more and more and attract that kind of person. So as they start to reach out to the Uber left, can anyone turn that corner and come back and win a Democratic election? We're going to look at the candidates who have announced and we think are going to announce when we come back. First, let me tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is something that has really, truly given me relief in my life. I feel like I've got my life back, but I'm not the only person that uses Relief Factor around here that we know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we did as a couple was to wait kind of to have kids. We didn't have them early. We had them late. So I have a 5 and 7 year old. And like, as you might know, 5 and 7 year olds run around and make me do a lot of things that I don't really want to do because it's activity.
Wait till they turn 15.
Exactly. And I'm going to be up. And you're kind of the same situation, right? Yeah, you had kids later on. Lifting your kids, you know, lifting your grandkids, right? Like that can actually be a real problem.
Yep.
And I haven't hit the huge pain area yet, but I know a lot of people have. And a lot of people around here have been really helped by Relief Factor.
Most people try it. 70% of the people that try it for 3 weeks, a quick start. They go on to order more month after month. They find relief. You can too. ReliefFactor.com. Order now. ReliefFactor.com and get your life back.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Today, we're looking at... what are the Democrats going to run on in 2020? Who is going to run? Who's going to do this? I mean, everybody else, is concentrating probably on, you know, the FBI.
The FBI said that Donald Trump was investigated.
Really? You mean like Hillary Clinton? Why is it such a big deal that he was investigated by the FBI when you didn't think it was a big deal that Hillary Clinton was being investigated by the FBI? So there's no politics of meaning here. What is in our future? Not political games for political game's sake, but this is important because the Democrats are getting so far left. We can become a socialist country and all that that entails in an Ocasio-Cortez sort of way quickly if we don't have our act together, because that's where 51% of Democrats now want to go. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Our sponsor this half hour. We are so thrilled to have Relief Factor as our sponsor. Relief Factor gave me an awful lot of help starting back in December of last year. I mean, a year before last. I had really kind of gotten to the end of my rope. And don't let me forget. Please write this down. I want to talk about something that I'm reading about health and also my fat challenge coming up in about 25 minutes. But I just couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't live this way anymore. And I don't want to be on prescription drugs. So how do you kill the pain if nothing else works? Well, my wife said, please just try Relief Factor. I did. I tried it for 3 weeks, just as they say, and it worked for me. It dramatically changed my pain. I'm not out of pain all the time, but I have far more better days, by far, than I ever have, at least in the last 5 years. It's Relief Factor. Please try it. It works for 70% of the people. It could work for you, and if it does, you get your life back. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or you can call them at 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com. So this next election is really important because if the economy goes down, Donald Trump's going to have a really hard time winning the election. And unfortunately, somebody who will have an easy time winning the Democratic primary will be a socialist. People will run towards socialistic properties and values if the economy is really, really hurting. So who are they going to run, and who's actually dangerous if they would win in the socialist front? But also, who could beat Trump if there is no economic disturbance? That's the hard one.
And that's one of the issues with thinking of elections as a binary topic, where there's just two people, and those are the only two people you could ever consider. It's a problem because it worked well, I think, for Trump in 2016, right? Like, people who weren't necessarily thrilled about Trump saw Hillary Clinton and were like, no. However, the same thing might happen in 2020. This is the risk if things go poorly, because if there's only two choices and the economy were to collapse or something went wrong unforeseen, then you have people saying, well, I don't like Trump, so I'll go with that other person. And that other person might be an actual socialist, mm-hmm. but if they can hide it well enough from the American people to not turn them off, they become the only other place to go, the only other game in town.
The question is, now let's just take out the economy stuff. Okay. Let's just leave that off the table. Deal with that if that happens.
Yep.
Okay. So let's say that Trump goes in as healthy as he is right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Things are the same. Who do you run that is left enough for the left, because 51% of Democrats now consider themselves left, liberal, progressive. Who do you run that is left enough for all of the ones that are going to get out everybody in to vote, but then can come back and be center enough for the rest of America?
Right. And can I add a third thing you have to do? Survive Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because if there are certain people that don't have the personality type to be able to survive Donald Trump. I'll give you a great example. Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren will get
slaughtered.
Oh my God, that'll
be done in a day.
Again, if Donald Trump is about where he is now, which is like low to mid 40s approval rating, he's kept his base, he's kept Republicans on board, he's got some independents, he's not overly, you know, thrillingly popular, but he's got his base. If we go into that next election, as the primary shifts, its, you know, kind of sifts its way out, then it's going to be one on one. And Trump is going to be able to go after that other person and do what he does best, right? He's going to put pressure on them all the time. They're going to have to answer.
He's going to rename them.
He's going to rename them. He's going to go after them in every speech. And there's a certain type of person. Elizabeth Warren is this type of person that cannot handle it. She can't seem authentic. She can't fake it. Hillary Clinton had the exact same problem. You know, this is when Hillary was in the middle of this and she's like, oh, I know, Pokemon Go. To the polls, like that was her risk. Yeah. Like this is how she dealt with it. She's mm-hmm. terrible. And you know what? I'm going to get me a beer has to be setting off alarm bells all over the Democratic Party, because when he's coming after her with all these attacks and the way he's going to come after her and name her and take every position she's had and make it into this big thing, and the media is going to follow it that way.
All he has to do is say, "Me smoke 'em one pump too." he says
she's
that
not going to be able to deal
with
it.
She's done. She will not. She will just shut down and become a robot.
And this one's already played out, right? He did say those things. He did say Pocahontas. He did call her all that. Mm-hmm. And what did she do? She thought it was a good idea to do a DNA test to prove she was 1/1024th Native American. That was her way of handling it. She has no capability to deal with the pressure of Donald Trump. Now, Joe Biden, on the other hand, is a guy who's been in these waters for a long time. He's more, not policy-wise, but he's more Trump than your average politician. Mm-hmm. He can insult you. He can come back with snappy comebacks. Mm-hmm. He's kind of likable, end of the guy of the bar sort
yeah,
of way.
Yeah, he's kind of, and right. I say this with as much endearment as I possibly can. When everybody said, I like the guy down the end of the bar. Basically, that's somebody who's just saying crazy things, but you know, you're all thinking it. You're all thinking it in the bar. But he's just saying
he's willing to say it.
He's got to out crazy. We already have the guy at the end of the bar, and that's what people liked about Donald Trump, was he was just saying it. He wasn't afraid of people like Elizabeth Warren, who would say, "How dare you?
Right.
Do you know that the number of Indians that died, and I am one of them, and how dare you even quit?" They're sick of that.
Yeah.
They want somebody at the end of the bar who's like, "Shut up, Pocahontas."
Yes.
Okay? That's what they want.
And I think this is the most basic hurdle to clear for any 2020 candidate. You have to be. You know who else can't do it? Cory Booker.
Oh my gosh.
Cory Booker, I am Spartacus. That guy cannot handle the pressure of Donald Trump.
I don't think that Beto can either. I think Beto
is... That one would be interesting. I'm not sure on that one yet.
I'm not sure either, but there's I don't know. There's too much stagecraft in him. Then again, I felt there was stagecraft in Obama, and it worked.
It worked. It did work, although Obama never had to face Trump. I mean, Obama had a way about him that maybe he would have been able to deal with it in a different sort of fashion than I think Joe Biden would. I mean, Joe Biden will just start, be like, gosh, that guy's a moron. Don't even worry about it. Like, that's the type of thing he'll say.
Obama, you have to put yourself back. If Obama was a conservative and Obama running the first time, I mean, he was Mr. Arugula. I mean, that's all that Donald Trump had to say.
Oh, yeah.
Give him the arugula guy and he's done.
You're right. It's one of the reasons I think talk show listeners like Donald Trump so much, because a lot of times he sounds like a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a guy you'd listen to on conservative talk radio who's just like, oh, these people are a bunch of morons. They're totally incompetent and they can't do anything. Well, that's what talk radio is.
Right.
A lot of times you can get a lot more depth than that. But I mean, that yes, is basically like what we're talking about
it's
here every day.
The average person, it's speaking the average person's language.
Yeah. Taking a 5,000 page policy proposal and turning into something that you don't want to hang yourself after listening to. So I think that's a huge hurdle. So that Biden is, and it's interesting, I think the audience, as we've been kind of informally polling them over the past couple of weeks of who you think can pull that off. A lot of people see Biden as the person who can do it.
I think so, too.
He can say.
Maybe. I mean, nobody's done it yet.
No, but he can say to the left during the primary, I was with Barack Obama, man. You know who I am. I can do all these crazy liberal policy things.
And he'll use the word man.
And he'll use the word man,
right?
Which is what he does,
right?
And he will go out there and say, "Look, I passed you know healthcare. We got to go further on that." He'll be able to convince them that he's left. Then he'll be able to come back to the middle and at least attempt to get back that sort of Rust Belt vote that Hillary lost.
Yes.
He'll be able to say, "Hey, I went to Katie's Diner. That place has been closed for 30 years, and it was great. And I'm a blue collar guy. Everyone calls me middle class Joe." I'm not saying he's convincing on it, but he at least attempts it where Hillary didn't even attempt it. And
he can actually sit with bikers.
Right.
And be comfortable. The bikers aren't comfortable, but he's comfortable.
They feel very weird. You pointed this out in the famous picture of Joe Biden creepily like hugging and like somewhat me tooing a biker woman who's sitting there. Mm-hmm. There's another guy in the picture and his face is like, "Oh my God, what am I looking at?" He's like pissed off. But I had never noticed this before. because he looks offended, like this is not right. He's like taking like he's almost like royalty. He's just like, I how dare you do that?
Right.
And then you notice his name.
I don't remember it.
Troll,
that's right.
He even offended a guy named Troll.
He was President Troll. On his leather jacket, it did say President, and underneath it said Troll.
He pissed off President Troll.
Right.
So he's that creepy.
But Joe Biden feels comfortable. Remember, Hillary Clinton got out of her van. She had, in a minivan.
Right.
Come on.
She was not.
That's not her. So she went on her listening tour in a van.
Yeah.
Trying to pretend she liked it. She never embraced. She should have gone and said, "I don't understand fair food, but I'm digging it."
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my scene, but I'm digging it. She could not do that. Instead, she was like, "What? I'm perfectly fine with, you know, deep fried Snicker bars on a stick."
Right.
"I make these for Bill all the time."
Just
shut up.
Inauthentic is what Hillary Clinton is. Inauthentic
and,
is what
and
Cory
Joe
Booker
Biden
is.
Is authentic.
Yeah, take politics out of it. Biden is like the guy who like sold you your forklift, and he comes to the holiday parties and he's fun and you're like, he's a salesman, but I like the guy. Right? Take politics out of it. That's kind of who the guy is, and he's able to pull that persona off. Cory Booker's not doing that.
Mm-mm.
Elizabeth Warren's not doing that. Beto, I think Beto comes off, I mean, Beto essentially is the guy who ran against Frank Underwood in season 4 of House of Cards, where he's like, good looking guy, and he's live streaming his dental appointments and all of that, you know, stagecraft. He's essentially trying to replicate that campaign, which, I mean, there's a lot that went on with that one, but didn't really work for multiple reasons. Point being, though, you can't, if you can't clear the hurdle of surviving Trump, you can't beat Trump. Unless something dramatic happens with the economy or something.
Now, here's the problem. As much as Joe Biden can say, "Hey, I'm the Barack Obama guy," Barack Obama came out this weekend and said, "It's time for new blood." Well, unless Joe's getting a transfusion, Joe ain't new blood. We'll go into that here in just a second.
I just love this. This is a giant bowl of candy for us to eat out of
really
every
is.
Single day
every
for
day.
The next year and a half.
It is. All right, let me tell you a little bit about CarShield. When it comes to repairs, you need options. Sometimes you will go in and you're just going to get a simple repair. You think it's a simple repair. Comes back, it's $1,000. My son-in-law went in for a repair. Cost him, $3,000 or $5,000. And they had to pay it because they didn't have CarShield. I'm like, hey, dummy.
Hey, what do you talk about all the time on the air? Why don't you listen to the freaking show?
CarShield. I went in, I had, and I honestly can't tell you, it was $6,000 to $8,000 repair. The reason why I can't tell you how much it was is because I didn't pay it. Didn't have to. CarShield covered it. If your car has a repair and it's covered, man, it will save your life. CarShield. If you have a car that's out of warranty and it's, you know, 5,000, 150,000 miles, you call them. They give you the free roadside assistance, free rental car while yours is in the shop, and they pay. You don't have to pay and then wait for them to pay you. They pay the mechanic. CarShield.com. CarShield.com. Call them now, 800-CAR-6100. Use the promo code BECK, and you'll save 10%. It's CarShield.com. Break for 10 seconds, station ID. So Joe Biden may be that old style kind of car salesman that that people are kind of tired of. But Hillary was, I mean, she was kind of her own mob. You know what I mean? You kind of, everybody knew, and everybody in the party was sick of her because they knew that there was, you know, if you will, a political mob that they'll break legs. You're not going to cross the Clintons. They'll break legs and you'll be destroyed. And people were sick of that. And Barack Obama had that, but he never did it. He had Code Pink and everybody else break the legs, you know, and he could say, what?
When they go low, what? We go high. All these organizations tied to me are going very low. But when they go low, we go high.
Right.
He was able to pull that off.
If you have Media Matters and Code Pink doing that for you, you don't have to ever make a threat.
Yeah.
And he had such cred with the left, the deep left. He never had to go deep left. He never did. He never had to say it.
I mean, a lot of the stuff we dug up on Obama was stuff he did before he was running.
And he denied ever saying it.
No. Even though we had video and audio of him doing it.
Right. So he never had to say it. He could pretty much play to the center and play to the aspirations. I don't know anybody else that can do that. I mean, because he had the history behind him. So a woman, maybe Kamala Harris, but is she going to have to play so far to the left that she could ever come back for the rest of the country?
And I think her path is different than Biden's. Biden's path is depend on his Obama sort of credibility with the left, win the primary, and because you also have a backing of a big part of the establishment, most likely. And then get there, then go back to the middle and be able to handle Trump. Kamala Harris is not, she's running to the left. I mean, she has to prove herself. She doesn't have anything to fall back on.
She would be the person that could bring the party together because, you know, Biden's 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And will he run for 2 terms? I don't know. You know,
but she's really in competition right now with like Elizabeth Warren, right? To take that Sanders sort of wing of the party, she's going to run in that socialist sort of left positioning.
Correct.
However, unlike Warren, she's much more well equipped to be able to deal with Donald Trump.
She's a prosecutor.
She's a prosecutor,
so she could not in head to head. I mean, I think she'd do better. Biden is the one that's winning head to head. I shouldn't say winning. Has a chance.
He'd stay above water.
Yeah. No one else has ever won against him one-on-one. So he would have a chance of keeping his head above water. I don't think Kamala Harris, she would have a slight chance, but only because she's a prosecutor. But I think that she is so far left that he could just make her look like an extremist quite easily.
It would be hard. The path that's similar to Biden is Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who a lot of people believe is going to run. He's been successful in Ohio as a Democrat. Even when Ohio is voting for Republicans, they'll still keep voting him in. He's sort of a populist. You know, he can be the rumpled coat kind of guy to come out. And that's how they're going to try to portray him. You know, whether he can stand up to Trump, I don't know. Maybe. But I don't necessarily think so. Cory Booker, no. Right. We're going through this whole list here.
No way.
Kirsten Gillibrand. I don't think she's really a legitimate contender. Tim Kaine is the most forgettable vice presidential candidate. When I said Tim Kaine, how many of you thought, who's Tim Kaine? He ran for vice president in 2016, the most recent election.
It's amazing.
And no one remembers who he is.
He was awful.
Awful. A giant awful. Zilch, added nothing to their campaign.
Nothing.
An embarrassment. Amy Klobuchar is one from, she's from, one candidate from Minnesota, and she's being pushed out there as like a more on the Biden-esque wing. Like, I've heard a lot of talk about Biden Klobuchar as a potential final where they land. Female, obviously, senator from Minnesota. She's not seen as super far left as like a Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren. She's going to be plenty left for Democrats in reality. But that's one they're talking about as a potential vice presidential candidate. Scrolling through this list here, we talked about Kamala Harris. Bernie Sanders, will he run? I think the establishment of the Democrats are saying, you're done. Get out. There's a lot of leaks of negative stories about Bernie Sanders.
He's gonna run.
You think he's going to run?
I think he's going to run because he's going to want to direct the conversation.
So he goes into, if you think about these candidates in groups, right? You have the Biden, Sherrod Brown group. You have the Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, all these. There's going to be a ton in that socialist sort of wing. Mm-hmm. The other wings are going to be less represented, I think. But Bernie Sanders is, if he's there, he's going to draw a lot of attention for a while.
Yeah, but he will force the Kamala Harris's, and I think this is what he'll want to do. He's going to force the others to actually run left. You take Bernie Sanders out. I think if I'm a leftist, I want Bernie Sanders in because I want Bernie Sanders to keep, I want him to root out the leftists who aren't afraid to say it.
He's got nothing to lose, right? He's
nothing.
He's not looking for a legacy when it comes to success. He's looking for a legacy as the guy who, did you know there was a candidate back then that really tried to be socialist? He was the first to admit it. Isn't that wonderful? If you're a Democrat, you might think that. And that's what Sanders' credibility is. However, I think what the Democrats would love is a guy like Beto who can have all the same policies as Sanders, but hide them. And not say he's a socialist.
I agree.
Act like the everyman. I mean, the guy came within 3 points in Texas. Can he win some of these swing states? I mean, the argument would be yes. Certainly his argument will be yes when he runs, which I definitely think is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's his path is he's in between those two groups. And that's why there's so much, you know, thrills up the leg going on for the Democrats.
Oh, my gosh, if I hear that one more time. And you know what? Chris Matthews, he's exactly the kind of guy that would give Chris Matthews that dingle.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I am watching the economy. I'm trying to keep an eye on what's happening over in China, what's happening tomorrow. They vote on Brexit. The stock market is really rocky. I just saw a little while ago it was down 120 some points. With the government shutdown here, Brexit tomorrow. The world is on the edge and anything could happen. If there's any major disruption, this thing could come unraveling quickly. Are you prepared? I will tell you that I took my 401k. I took a look at it recently. I have taken 75 cents of every dollar that I've had in my retirement stuff that you might have in your 401k. I've gotten it out of the stock market. Where do you put it? Gold is the safe haven. Please consider gold or silver. Call Goldline now and get the information. Do your own homework. You're smart enough to figure this out. 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
So is a wall immoral? A Democrat was actually asked if that's true or not, and the surprise answer coming up on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glad you're here. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome to it. I mentioned last week that I have a goal of losing 50 pounds this year, and man, I'm looking forward to it.
It shouldn't be bad. I mean, you didn't even have a goal of gaining 50 pounds. You picked that, pulled that one off. It's pretty good.
Anyway, and I want to thank Jeffy for this. But it's amazing how a friend's heart attack affects your life. I've invited people to join if you want to join. And I'm going back and forth. I've been reading The 4-Hour Body by Tim Ferriss.
Mm.
Have you read that?
No. I look like a person who's... the 4-minute body, maybe.
Yeah, you do look like a guy who... So his... I just love his philosophy. It's like his philosophy is everybody's body is different, so don't... You know, you got to do your own, you know, kind of watching your own body. And he talks about how you can measure the results of anything that you're trying. And, you know, he went to the extent of... I mean, he had body implants put in to be able to monitor, you know, his blood and fat burn and everything else. I mean, he was taking blood tests all the time because he's that kind of guy. He wanted scientifically, I want to know what's right, what the right fuel is for my body. But he talks about how, you know, after a certain point with exercise, it's waste. You're not gaining anything of it. And he's like, so why are you doing it? And he's in this, you know, you got to eat every 4 hours, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of like his philosophy. So I started talking to my wife about it. And my wife said,
oh, I've been reading the book, too.
Oh. And so she read this book called Medical Medium. Now, she got this from a good friend of ours who is a rational human being and has MS and is really sick. And she said, my gosh, this has made all the difference in my life. This guy, his philosophy on diet. So I'm like, okay, so what's a medical medium? What does that mean? She said, well, he's a medium. He's what? He's a medical medium.
A spiritual.
Yeah. And I said, oh, well, this, have you read The 4-Hour Body? Have you read The 4-Hour Body? She said, listen, now this guy's story, because I read part of it this weekend. This guy's story is amazing. We have to have him on the air. His story is that when he was 4 years old, he said he saw a spirit at four at the table. He was just barely talking and stuff. He saw this old man standing behind his grandmother, and nobody else could see the old man. And the old man was talking to him, and he said, say lung cancer. And he was four. He didn't know what he was saying. And everybody at the table was like, what, honey? What? And so he said, this guy said, go stand here. Come here. Stand next to your grandmother. Look at your grandmother. Now say these words. Grandma has lung cancer. And as it turns out, she went in and she found out she had lung cancer.
That is a really creepy moment.
Creepy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this guy says that he has had this ability his whole life. And he says it's just compassion that he feels, the spirit of compassion. And he can feel what people are going through, and he can pinpoint things, blah, 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 blah. Whether I buy this or not, I don't know. I want to talk to this guy. But I read what he said about, because I have adrenal exhaustion. I have adrenal fatigue. And the way he describes it is exact. The way I've talked to doctors and they've been like, I don't know what that, but what he's saying is exactly the way I feel. And he said, you might have one or more of these symptoms. And then he lists like 25. I have like 28 of the 25. And, but he said, you have to do 2 years of totally changing everything. And, you have to start by having 30 days of raw, like salad only. And my wife is like, and I said, well, you know, let's talk about that. And maybe, you know, it's 28 days. He said, do it for 28. That's February. So maybe we can start in February. Want a bowl of ice cream? And she said last night, she said, we're starting this before February. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. All right. Let's. Wow. I can't wait to do it. So,
what a man you are. Wow. Look at that backbone. It's impressive. Mm-hmm. It is impressive.
What do you keep in your Liberty Safe? I have guns in mind. What do you keep in
investments?
Yours?
Investments. Right. Purse investments.
Yes. Right.
Purse based.
So,
investment.
And you're one.
I didn't say I was a man. I said you weren't one.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Just want to make sure.
So you're really going to do this?
I don't know. I've already done the raw thing. I've said to Tanya, I said, we did the raw thing. Remember the nightmare that was raw?
Raw foods, man. That's a rough one.
But this isn't just raw food. This is not like raw meat and, you know, it's not that. It's just, why do I take Field of Greens?
Because you don't want to eat salad.
I hate salad. This is 28 days of nothing but salad and fruit. It's like the anti-Glenn. It's like everything that you hate, you should have.
That's going to be an interesting thing to go through, because certainly there won't be any ramifications on my life from you having to eat raw celery every day for 28 days.
Oh, no. Celery juice. Celery juice.
Oh, that sounds pretty good then.
Yeah, so you get all of the impact of celery without actually chewing anything crunchy.
Have you looked in any of the science of this? Are you just jumping on another diet trend? Is that what's happening?
Yes, she is. That's why I kind of want to go for the 4-hour body thing, right? But I'm not going to win that. battle.
You're not going to win that?
I'm not going to win that
I
battle.
Read the Pengelette Presto book. Do you remember this?
Yes.
He read
this
a year or two ago. It's called Presto, How I Lost 100 Pounds or something. First of all, it's a great book because it's Pengelette, so it's just funny
it's
and interesting.
Fun. Yeah.
He's always an interesting guy. But the way he did it, and he's an admitted extremist, right? So he basically went on this diet in which I think it was for, it was at least 2 weeks, if it wasn't a month, where the only thing he ate all day, every day, was potatoes. Now, that if you're thinking of the low carb thing or whatever, like it's definitely not that, right? It was only potatoes in any quantity that he wanted, but no added sugar, no, I mean salt, no added butter, nothing. And he ate just that. And then he slowly introduced new foods like celery and like, you know, lettuce, right? So he was super restrictive. But this is, it's a sprint rather than a marathon, right? So the idea being that he lost 100 pounds in 90 days, I believe it was. So think about that. You got to do it for 90 days, and 90 days is kind of hell, right? But when you're done with the 90 days, he kept it off because he wound up, the idea behind the diet is that you, especially the first 2 weeks, you get to the point of, A, you're kind of sick of potatoes, so you don't really, you're not trying to eat them all the time. When you know all you can eat is potatoes, you don't get that excited about eating. It also makes your palate incredibly bland. So everything, like he's like, the first time I had a bite of, I don't remember what it was, of tomato or something. He's like, it was like the most unbelievable tasting thing I've ever had in my life. It was like incredibly exciting because I had had potatoes nonstop for 2 weeks. And when he puts a little, like he'll put on Tabasco on something and it's like a flavor explosion to him. And he eventually got to the point where he no longer craved the bad foods.
See, I think, I say this knowing, you know, the pain involved in it here, but you have this Bell palsy thing that you've gone through before.
When I was, when I was younger.
When you were younger. Yeah. And you had it flare up when we were in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And you lost all taste.
Yes.
Smell too?
No, just taste.
Just taste.
Well, taste, it started with one side of my tongue and then it started to the other. So then I couldn't taste anything for a period of 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
But
he,
no,
he never, but he never said anything to any of his friends. Not a word. Not a word. Just like,
I didn't know you needed to know the details of my senses. Whether
who
interesting?
In who loses the sense of taste and doesn't say to their friends, you know, I can't taste anything on half of my tongue. Isn't that weird?
Well, it started with that. Then it was the whole thing.
Yeah. For 6 months.
Yeah.
The only reason why I found out is because I was sitting at a really good restaurant with him and I heard him order and he said, what's the texture of that? Just something crunchy. Whatever you've got that's crunchy. And I'm like, who orders food like that?
Well, this
and
is,
I've actually thought of that. Mm-hmm. If you could lose the sense of taste.
Yeah. It's the one we don't need. I mean, what do we need taste for? Yes, it makes your life happier, but it also makes you into a fatso, which is why. I mean, the reason I am not the weight I'm supposed to be is because food tastes good. It's not my fault. It's the food's fault. If I didn't have, I can deal with four senses or whatever it is. I can, you know, what's taste? What do you need that for?
All it is. Just take an iron to your tongue then.
Well, that way you'd feel that. That's touch.
Yeah, you'd feel that for a while.
You wouldn't
suck on some ice for a while.
It wouldn't taste bad. It wouldn't taste bad. I don't know. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for one of these type of extreme diets. I think most people say there isn't. And I think that that's not necessarily
works.
It doesn't work with everybody.
Again, that's why the 4 hour. I could see us, like this guy's point is you have to do these things for your body. And I've been there and done that and blah, 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 blah. However, you know, you can't, I just can't stay in that extreme zone. I just can't stay there. That's what I like about the 4 hour body diet is, you know, like when we were on Atkins, I was on Atkins for years, didn't have a problem with it because Friday nights I went out and I had whatever I wanted. And a 4 hour body, he's like, you know, pick a day, whatever your day is, eat whatever you want because you'll never stay on anything if it is all about depriving yourself of the stuff you love. Just eat it in one day.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that stuff is true. There's a book called The Bad Food Bible, which I read over vacation, which is awesome. It's basically all the actual science between every single, you know, health claim that you read on Pinterest, right? Like, you know, these things that are like, oh, you can't eat this food. And it's like, well, why can't I eat that food? And you really look at the science of it. There's nothing behind 95% of this stuff that freaks everybody out. And people avoid the things
that would make them happy, things that make their life a little bit more enjoyable, because they're terrified of what they've read on the internet.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the science, it's not there at all for almost all of these things.
I have to show you.
It's just about what works for you, right?
I have to show you. If anybody's listening, if Tim, is my son-in-law, is in, I have to have him bring in his lunch. His wife is making his lunch. His wife, not my daughter, his wife is making.
You have no responsibility.
No responsibility for this one. I looked at it the other day. Do you remember? Did you see Lord of the Rings?
I probably
you won't relate to this.
I don't like those movies.
Anybody who saw Lord of the Rings, remember when the elves gave them this bread and they wrapped it up in the leaf and then tied it around? That's what his sandwiches look like now.
That's not a sandwich if it's tied in a leaf.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not, right?
Right.
It's like tied into a leaf. You got to eat the stupid leaf. Even the Hobbit didn't eat the leaf.
And he has to eat the leaf?
He eats the leaf. It's like, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'll help pay for the divorce attorney if you want. I mean, I'll comfort my daughter, but not your wife.
Right.
Not on that. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe. Almost half of Americans make a New Year's resolution every year. Now, make one that makes a difference. Keep your family safe and save a buttload of money. If you are somebody who is paying for monthly services from, you know, ADT or somebody else, how much are they charging you every month?
Well,
and how long is that contract?
Well, if you're lucky, though, you get the lowest offer available, which is only $27.99, Glenn.
Yeah,
if you can get that lowest offer available from one of those companies, you should take it right away,
okay,
right? Because it's a great deal.
Right. It's not actually a great deal. The lowest monitoring price that I know of is SimpliSafe, and it's $14.99, and there's no contract. So the way these other companies get you is they wire their thing in. Then if you want to switch after your contract is over, sure, but we can't use that. I mean, we are going to have to put in our system. So you're paying for a system again, over and over and over again. And you're paying these high prices for a system that costs them nothing. When you see the price of SimpliSafe system, I warn you, it's going to make you a little angry because you're going to do up the math in your head and think, oh my gosh, I paid for the system that I've been paying $50 a month for years ago. No contracts. You own the system. No games and $14.99 a month. It's SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get started today. Save 10% off your home security system at SimpliSafeBeck.com. While Senator Menendez is on the beach in Puerto Rico, which is not a good picture if you haven't seen that, along with the Hispanic caucus, things are kind of falling apart because they're saying, oh, it's shutdown. It's so horrible for people. And then they're on the beach. There's something else that is also falling apart, and that is that the border wall is immoral.
Yeah, Chris Wallace asked Senator Coons, a Democrat, whether the wall was really immoral. Listen.
House Speaker Pelosi says that the border wall is immoral and that she won't give, I guess she'll give $1 to pay for it. Do you agree with her?
Well, I agree with the advice that Lindsey Graham just gave to President Trump, which is that he should reopen the government and we should spend several weeks negotiating over what we can all agree on. I personally don't think that a border wall is in and of itself immoral.
Hmm. Well, walls aren't immoral, right? They're just a thing. Right, the internet isn't immoral. Nazi propaganda on the internet might be immoral and is immoral, in my view. Just don't offend all those white supremacists out there,
right?
But I mean, again, like the wall, like, you know, immigration policy of Trump might be immoral to you, but the wall is not immoral.
Correct.
The wall is just—it's a way to enforce the law.
I would just really like to stop talking about. You know, what we should do is open the government or close the government, whatever, and start a dialogue. You can start a dialogue with this. Yes, a border wall will be part of the negotiations. That's a stumbling block. Trump can't negotiate with somebody who is saying, no, I'm not going to give you anything that you want. He's saying we can call it a fence, we can call it a wall, but it has to be part of the negotiation. When they say no, you got no place to go. Whether the government stays open or closed, why would you open it when your only leverage is, no, I'm not going to open this until you say, yeah, okay, we'll make this part of the deal.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.